In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. This is the word of the Lord. Let us be honest, the transfiguration of our Lord seems so otherworldly, doesn't it? Far, far from our own experiences in life today. Extraordinary. Jesus' face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. His entire appearance was transfigured. The word is metamorphosized. And it happened before witnesses, apostolic witnesses, which he himself chose, Peter, James, and John. And the Old Testament prophets, Moses and Elijah, appeared with Jesus, talking with him. Bible-believing Christians believe that such miracles took place, no matter how otherworldly they might seem. Peter would later testify, as we heard in the epistle for today, that he and his fellow apostles did not follow cunningly devised fables, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They saw Jesus transfigured upon the mountain. They heard the voice of the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And they were willing to die for that testimony. Either they were insane, or they were testifying to the truth. We opt for the latter. God grant that we believe in the miracle of the transfiguration, and indeed all of the miracles to which the apostolic witnesses bore testimony. Exactly what is this transfiguration all about? What are we to learn from it? Exactly what were the apostles witnessing when they saw Jesus transfigured before them? In one of the most famous passages of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 13, we hear these words: "But now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Love, what some of you might recall from the scriptures, the Greek agape love. Merciful love, sacrificial love, undeserved love, selfless, self-giving love. This is the greatest, faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest because it defines God's nature, who he is. Faith in Christ and the hope of the resurrection and full deliverance from all sin is the result of receiving this love in the precious gospel of our Lord Jesus. This is why love is the greatest. Apart from love, there is no faith in Christ. Apart from his love, there is no blessed and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. Love is at the heart of God's nature. So in the transfiguration miracle, the glory of God's love, who Jesus really is as the Son of God, this is what the apostles beheld in his transfiguration. Emanating from this manifestation of Jesus' glory is immortality. You sang of it just a moment ago in the hymn. Endless life. Endless life in God, life that cannot be destroyed by anything. Not by the coronavirus. Not by sin, endless life, and incorruption. which is life without the corruption of evil, self-centeredness, pride, envy, hatred, bitterness. All of this is characteristic of the love of God. This is the glory Peter, James, and John witness. Agape love, God's nature. It suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, nor does it seek its own benefit. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rather it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, and this love never fails. It is eternal, and it is abiding, and it is the fountain and source of life. Like the Transfiguration itself, this description of love is equally otherworldly, isn't it? Who knows of anyone in this life whose love absolutely never fails, but loves to the uttermost not simply those who please him, but those who are his enemies and those who hate him? But this love is the truth. Of this love, the Apostle John would write in his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him. Apart from him, nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and that life, which springs forth from the loving nature of God, that life is light that illuminates the darkness of this world and gives light to every human being who has ever lived. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." This love is pure goodness, a description of God's nature. But it is also what will be ours in the resurrection, when in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. So Peter was right to want to remain there with Jesus in the glory of his transfiguration. The glory of God's pure and eternally perfect love. The glory of his divine nature, which the apostles beheld in his transfiguration, is what you and I will share in the resurrection on the last day. A life free of all sin, free of all evil, and free of all weakness. A life that cannot be destroyed. An eternal life in which you and I are in communion with the glory of God's self-giving love. That is what awaits us. Peter would later refer to this as becoming partakers of the divine nature. It is as if he were saying, partakers of the divine, eternal, self-giving love of God. Why must we wait for this transfiguration of our own flesh? This is a very important question. The cross must come first, not simply as a sequence of time, but the cross must come first because the cross is the quintessential, the highest expression of the love which is God's by nature. For it is in the cross that the fullest expression of the glory of God is manifest, though human reason cannot detect it. God the Father's word must proclaim it, that word concerning Jesus, and Jesus' word to the disciples in the transfiguration miracle. This is the climax. When the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear him." From the miracle of the transfiguration, the apostles would witness for you and for me all the words of love that poured forth from Jesus' mouth. And the first word of love came immediately as the cloud overshadowed them and fear gripped them as it gripped Moses in the Old Testament reading. Jesus touched them. And they weren't destroyed like those who had approached Mount Sinai. No, Jesus touched them and said, "Arise, do not be afraid." That word interpreted the very glory of God that they witnessed shining through his flesh. And that word was a word of pure love and forgiveness, pure life that would reconcile us to the Father and make us partakers of the divine nature. Apart from that word, we cannot know, nor can we begin to understand the glory of God's love. From the miracle of the Transfiguration, Jesus' words would become more and more significant for the apostles, particularly in their struggles, in their weakness. And the same must be true for us. His word would not only reveal his love, but by his words, the glory of God's love would strengthen them under the cross of their own suffering and give them a foretaste of that glory now. And the same is true for us. As the glory of God's love is ultimately manifested in Jesus' suffering for us sinners, so we receive that glory in this life. When we are stripped of all our glory and are taught to depend upon Jesus alone. After Jesus spoke to Peter, James, and John, they lifted up their eyes and saw no one but Jesus only. Remember this, Jesus only. He is the object of our faith. He is the source of our comfort and strength. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And we cannot know this life apart from his word of love that comes to us under the cross of affliction. What do we learn from the Transfiguration? You and I cannot become partakers of the divine nature, nor can we be transfigured with our Lord on the last day unless we become partakers of the glory of his love now in the pain and struggles of life, in the problem of sin and human weakness, and when our world seems to be falling apart around us. Through Jesus' words of mercy, his words of compassion, his words of grace, we come to understand not only the purpose of his suffering, but why the Lord brings suffering into our own lives. And by his words, we know the pathway to the glory of eternal life is found in his love. This is my beloved Son, hear him. Under the cross of suffering in our own lives, may we lift up our eyes and see Jesus only in his suffering and death, and know that there he touches us in ours. In this is the love and glory of God for you. In the name of Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.